From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, how Fort Lauderdale is responding to rising sea levels, infrastructure that can hopefully move the city beyond the sandbag.
But first, President Obama is meeting today with Ukraine's interim prime minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, at the White House. It's the first meeting between the two leaders, and it comes at a critical time for Ukraine. Not only is the country trying to regain some stability after Viktor Yanukovych was ousted from the presidency, it's also just days before a referendum in Crimea when voters will decide whether to possibly join Russia. NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman is with us now from Washington with the latest. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Well, what is the interim prime minister going to be asking President Obama for?
Help and a lot of it, both financial help and also diplomatic support. You know, Ukraine is facing a major financial crisis and, as you mentioned, this threat to its territorial integrity. So Yatsenyuk is here trying to figure out a way to weather this storm. He's a young guy, 39 years old, and though he hails from the party of Yulia Tymoshenko, the Ukrainian politician who was recently released from prison, he's not, you know, a charismatic politician like she is. He's a lawyer, former central banker, and a technocrat. So we can expect him to be talking a lot about Ukraine's financial situation right now and also seeing what, if anything, the U.S. can do to convince Russia to pull back from Crimea and not stir up trouble in other parts of Ukraine, especially in the east where there are a lot of Russian speakers.
And we know that there's already a plan for about $1 billion in loan guarantees for Ukraine from Washington. What can President Obama offer?
That's right. They are working through these loan guarantees and also trying to encourage the Ukrainian authorities to work with the IMF. I mean, that's where the bigger money's going to come from, but it's also going to require a lot of very tough reforms. So President Obama's message has to be a little bit of tough love to Yatsenyuk. The European Union is also planning to temporarily suspend some tariffs on Ukrainian goods, so that could help. And the other side of this is the sanction side. The U.S. is already paving the way to try to find a way to punish Russia for any moves to encourage Crimea to break away or to annex Crimea. They're talking about targeted sanctions, and that might have some impact. But, you know, Putin has reportedly relied on a very small group of security advisors. He's long encouraged his team not to be too exposed to the West and not to have their bank accounts abroad, for instance. So he doesn't seem to be moved by these sanctions. And as for broader sanctions, some U.S. businesses are worried about that it might be hard to persuade Europe to go along. Hmm. So, you know, this is going to be a very tough sell, difficult choices ahead for the U.S. and Europe on this.
And probably not a meeting, today's meeting between President Obama and Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, that is going to be very well received by Russia.
Well, that's really the point. I mean, the White House wanted to send this message that it supports this government, it thinks it's legitimate. Russia has tried to paint Yatsenyuk and his government as nationalists and neo-Nazis who came to power in a coup. The U.S. says it was President Yanukovych who fled the country. The government was chosen by a parliamentary majority and even by lawmakers who used to be in Yanukovych's party.
Michelle, you have been traveling with Secretary of State Kerry, who's been trying to draw Russia into negotiations. And this morning, Secretary Kerry reiterated that priority at a House budget hearing where Congress was considering this aid we've been talking about for Ukraine. Let's listen.
We will offer certain choices to Foreign Minister Lavrov and to President Putin through him and to Russia with hopes, and I think the hopes of the world, that we will be able to find a way forward that defuses this and finds a way to respect the integrity and sovereignty of the state of Ukraine.
Michelle, how much talking is going on right now between the U.S. and Russia?
Well, I think Kerry's been pretty frustrated. I mean, his efforts went nowhere last week when he tried to get the Russians and Ukrainians in the same room together. And the U.S. felt that Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, didn't really have any instructions from Vladimir Putin to make a deal. So, you know, even as those meetings were taking place, Russia was reinforcing its control over Crimea. And Kerry at one point gave a page and a half of questions to Lavrov to give to Putin, asking whether, you know, he would do anything to halt this move toward annexation of Crimea. The answer back, the State Department says, was more of the same. But as you heard in that clip, Kerry isn't giving up. I mean, he told this House subcommittee hearing that he's getting on a plane tomorrow evening to fly to London to meet once again with Sergei Lavrov to try to find a way to defuse this. He says he knows Russia has interests in Ukraine, particularly in Crimea, but nothing justifies military interventions. He says there are other ways to address Russia's concerns. But, you know, there's no sign yet that Putin really wants this diplomatic off-ramp.
Well, how would the U.S. react, or do we know at this point how the U.S. would react if Crimea votes to join Russia?
Well, as Kerry said, there's going to be a lot of variance here. The Crimeans could vote to join Russia, but Putin could annex it, or he could keep this region in a limbo, more like a frozen conflict. The U.S. isn't going to accept it, but what that means going forward is up in the air.
NPR's diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kelleman. Michelle, thanks so much.
Thank you.